May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. For all five Sundays of September, the set epistle is from the letter of James. Though Martin Luther dubbed it an epistle of straw, it is full of practical wisdom about how a Christian should lead their life. Most likely, the letter of James is not a letter at all, but a preserved script that an early Christian preacher had written for a sermon. It reads much more like a sermon than a letter. It is thought he was speaking to Jewish Christians, but not those who had gathered in Jerusalem after Jesus' death and resurrection, but some that had remained in Galilee, perhaps original followers of Jesus. For a long time, James remained obscure and was not mentioned in lists of Christian writings. That is suggestive of the fact that it came from an unimportant church and that the preacher was of no special prominence in the wider church. Nevertheless, his language and his images are vivid and energetic, and my guess is that he was a very engaging preacher. He is a teacher whose wisdom suggests that he was experienced in life and a keen observer of human nature. Above all, he is opposed to any kind of sham. What you believe must show itself in how you live your life. And in the part of his sermon that we read today, that applies to how a Christian should control his or her tongue. As we know so well, people are always careless with what they say. But the problem is exacerbated when people live in frustrating times and feel that those in positions of power are unresponsive to their needs. That's when people will spout off with little regard to the consequences of their words. James's sermon was preached when the frustration felt by the Jewish people and the new sect within Judaism called Christians was growing, and it was growing towards the Roman government. Both groups saw Rome as corrupt, as encouraging cronyism, and as unjust in the way in which it administered its laws. They blamed Rome for the grinding poverty of the masses and the extreme wealth of the few. And the situation was becoming even more extreme in the 40s and the 50s AD, when a succession of crop failures led to widespread famines. There were periodic outbreaks of violence, which the Romans crushed brutally. And in 66 AD, open war broke out between the Jews and the Romans. And as punishment, the Romans sacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. James had no doubt winced as he heard people in his church say things with no thought to the consequences of their words. It put the reputation and therefore the safety of the Christian community at risk. My guess is that he had said things himself which he regretted, haven't we all? And so he chided his readers with a series of images. He used the images of the bit in a horse's mouth and the rudder on a great ship to demonstrate how something small like the tongue is capable of exercising great influence. He used the image of the tiny spark that causes the massive forest fire and extended the image to say that the tongue is set alight by the fires of hell. He used the image of the natural creation and said that humankind had tamed and brought into order all the animals and birds and snakes and fish, but no one can restrain their tongue, which is an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. James ended his list of images by pointing out the monstrous inconsistency of using our tongue to bless God and to curse our fellow man who is made in the image of God. He concluded, "My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Of course, in these days of social media, there are more ways for the tongue to be an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I've told you the story of Justine Sacco before. She is the woman who was publicly shamed over a tweet about AIDS. In December 2013, she was in charge of corporate communications for IAC, a huge media and internet company with more than 150 brands. She was only 30 years old, and her career had been on a steep upward trajectory. She was based in the corporate office in New York. Her Twitter account was a new toy for her. She had only 170 followers. She was from South Africa, and she boarded a flight at JFK for Cape Town to spend Christmas with her family. The first leg of the flight was to London. Before the flight took off, she sent out her first tweet. "Weird German dude, you're in first class. Get some deodorant." She tweeted again after she landed at Heathrow. "Chili cucumber sandwiches, crooked teeth. I must be in London." She thought her tweets would only go to those 170 followers, but she should have known better. As the plane pushed back on its departure for Cape Town, she sent out a third tweet. Going to Africa. Hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding. I'm white. During the 11-hour flight, when she had no phone or internet, she slept. She turned her phone back on as they were taxiing to the gate in Cape Town. A text popped up from an old high school friend. I'm sorry to see what's happening. She was baffled. Then came a text from her best friend, Hannah. Call me immediately. Then her phone rang. And it was Hannah. You are the number one worldwide trend on Twitter right now. Justine's Twitter feed during that 11-hour flight had become a horror show. How did Justine Sacco get a PR job? I'm an IAC employee, and I don't want Justin Sacco doing any communications on behalf of our company ever again. Then from the chairman of AIC. This is an outrageous, offensive comment. Employee in question, currently unavailable, and on an international flight. And there was another hashtag that was trending worldwide, and this is the one you may have heard. Has Justine landed yet? In early 2014, it was often repeated as a way of saying, have you come to your senses about something incredibly stupid that you just did? In the airport, there were news people and cameramen to film her arrival. She lost her wonderful job. Justine was bored. She was irritated by the indignities of travel. She had a new toy to play with, Twitter. And so she amused herself with acerbic tweets. Her tongue became an unruly evil. Bruce Barton, who founded BBDO, one of the largest advertising companies in the world, and became a Republican congressman from New York, once said, for good or ill, your conversation is your advertisement. Every time you open your mouth, you let people look into your mind. I think Jesus and the ancient preacher who wrote out a sermon to be delivered to a primitive Christian community in Galilee would agree with what Barton said. Only they would say, every time you open your mouth, you let people look into your heart. After all, isn't that where it all starts? Jesus said, for the overflow of the heart, that is where the mouth speaks from. The good man brings good things out of the good stored within him. And the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in him. Only grace can tame our unruly hearts. We prayed that it would in the collect today. Grant that thy Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. And because it is only grace that can tame our unruly hearts, it is only grace that can tame our unruly tongues. Amen.